Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Psalm 29 is a hymn of praise to the King of creation. It describes the revelation and redemptive acts of God in terms of a storm. It was most likely used by the ancient Israelites after the autumn rains, which made a new planting season the following spring possible. In attributing the storms to the Lord, they were, in a sense, confessing their faith in Him in the face of the worshipers of Baal, who believed that their God controlled the weather. And that is why, in verses 3 through 9 of this psalm, the thunder associated with these storms is referred to as the voice of the Lord no less than 7 times. It was a scary voice. Remember the Israelites at the foot of Mount Sinai? They didn't want to hear that voice. In fact, they told Moses to go speak to God. So today we ask ourselves, what and why? What? What we seek from the Lord is peace. Everybody claims to seek peace. It just seems good and right and a politically correct thing to say. But the peace that we really need is not simply the absence of hostility or the acceptance of one another's differences or being tolerant of people that we don't really like. The kind of peace is, that kind of peace is nothing compared to the real peace with God that we need in the face of our sin and rebellion against Him. This peace only comes through Jesus Christ. In fact, it has already come in Christ. He is the one who reconciled us to our Heavenly Father by living for us a perfect life that God requires of us and by suffering and dying in our place, offering the one sacrifice of atonement for all human sin. Every sinner is reconciled to God through the perfect life and innocent death of Christ. The only sinners who are not reconciled to God are those who refuse to be and choose instead to remain enemies of God by rejecting His peace in Christ. So we already have what we seek, peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But even after receiving that peace, we still need strength. Despite what is taught by some well-meaning Protestants, faith, being a living thing, is vulnerable. It can grow weak and it can die. The world that we live in is not a healthy environment for a living faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith is threatened and attacked on every side. And that's because Satan works in and through the world, even through our own sinful nature, trying his best to destroy our faith, to convince us that believing in God and trusting in Christ are foolish things to do, to get us to question or doubt what God has revealed to us, to remind us day in and day out of our sins and shortcomings, and to make us think that we are so evil as to be beyond redemption. It is reported that Martin Luther, when assailed by such thoughts, would shout, "I am baptized." In fact, it's one of my favorite Luther quotes. He would call the devil a barking dog. "Get away from me, you barking dog, for you have no teeth, for I am baptized." Our baptism unites us with Christ. Baptism united Zeddy with Christ and thereby makes us children of God, even as He is the Son of God. God looks at us not as enemy, but as His dear children. And he may discipline us as any loving father would, but he does not punish us because Christ has endured the punishment for us. Paul assures us of this in his letter to the Romans when he writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So we turn to the Lord for the things that we seek because the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. Now, this imagery no doubt brings the reader and the singers of this psalm to the thought of the flood in terms of creation, where Scripture tells us that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Or perhaps you're thinking of the great flood that destroyed all life except for the people and animals that were on the ark with Noah. Or maybe of the Exodus from Egypt, when the Lord parted the waters of the Red Sea for the Israelites to escape, and then he returned the waters to destroy their pursuers. For us today, we think of baptism as that flood, since it is in and through the flood of baptismal water that God the Father adopts us as his own children. We turn to the Lord for the things that we seek because the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. We also turn to the Lord for the things that we seek because the Lord sits enthroned as King forever. He alone is eternal, without beginning and without end. He is the one to whom we can always turn because he is the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And because he has adopted us into baptism, he is always our loving Father to whom we can turn for help whenever we need it. And we begin the divine service with the words and the sign, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, those words and signs with which we were baptized, because it is how we are identified with our God and he with us. When we confess our sin and hear his word of absolution, it is because we are his baptized children that he hears and forgives. When we are discouraged and need a comforting word, it is because we belong to him that he strengthens and encourages us. And when we have doubts and need reassurance, it is because we are his that he gives us his Holy Spirit, mediated through the gospel of Christ in any and every need. He is the one that we can turn to with confidence, as the Apostle Peter assures us. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Our God is enthroned and eternal, and he is ours. As we observe today the baptism of our Lord, we also remember our own. And for Zeddy, that's not a very long memory. As he was baptized, as Christ was baptized to initiate his mission of redemption, we were baptized so that we might be his ambassadors, bringing to everyone with whom we interact the good news of forgiveness, life, even salvation in his name. As at the baptism of Jesus, God the Father acknowledged him as his own and declared him to be pleasing to him, so he has done with us in our baptism. More than that, in baptism, his Spirit is united with us, and it unites us with Christ and in his death and resurrection, making us dead to sin and alive in him. We have this assurance from the Word of God itself. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, we were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's the good news Our God is enthroned. Our God is enduring forever. Our God has given us peace, and He will strengthen us. Amen. So let us go and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen.